Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
To Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. My name's Anne Stanley, and today my guest is Dean Norman O'Callaghan, a.k.a., otherwise known as, Dino Goodbrew, and that is because Dino is from the Goodbrew Company and Extremely Alive Kombucha.
I'm all about food sovereignty and medicinal outcomes from healthy food. You know, food is medicine. It's not good on the radio, but I'm wearing a hoodie at the moment that says Extremely Alive, Ancient Future Medicine. And an Ancient Future Medicine is one of our taglines for a brand that I started with Dr. Mark Cohen called Extremely Alive. And it's shelf-stable probiotics, and we teach people how to make it at home.
Dino has been brewing kombucha for 15 years. He's with me today to talk about the importance of supporting independent food growers and building community through ethical consumption. So very much aligned with this program. Dino, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. I also acknowledge that I've been brewing and loving living in Melbourne/Nam for a long time. And the water's amazing here, the forests around, and I tap into a lot of wonderful nurturing land energy. So I acknowledge their forefathers and the indigenous owners of the caretakers of the land.
Mm-hmm. I like how you've placed yourself there on the land and in the ecosystem. It is great water here, isn't it?
Mm.
Does that affect the kombucha that you're brewing?
Absolutely. It's the primary ingredient. So I've been lucky enough to have a brewery in Healesville for a number of years. I started out there, and I used Graceburn Springs water. That was water that had never been treated with chlorine or fluoride, and that made a huge difference to my brews. So when I was given an opportunity, when I had to move out of Healesville, I was given an opportunity to set up in Daylesford. I took it because of the water in Daylesford is so good. And I've been using Daylesford spring water, which has never, again, no chlorine, no fluoride, for a long time. And my brews have an exceptional diversity of good bacteria, 200 strains, as opposed to one strain in my biggest competitor's product, or which turns out to be zero, really, once it's been in a bottle for a while, or even four. In common knowledge, we say that there's four strains of bacteria in kombucha out of a subset of 11, but we prove that there's 200 in mine.
Mm. Is that because substances like chlorine and fluoride are likely to kill a lot of them?
Totally. Chlorine in particular is a poison. And it serves a purpose. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to know that the water that I've been drinking that's been traveling through ancient dams and has been treated with something to get the bad bacteria out of it. But the really important thing to do is when it gets to your house is you get rid of that chlorine. Because you're drinking chlorine, you will be dramatically negatively affecting your biome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And directly negatively affecting your brew. Like you brew with chlorinated water, you're not going to get a healthy bacterial result.
Can you tell me that story you told before, just off air, about the change in your business?
So I was convinced by some big kombucha breweries to produce a lot of raw ingredient for them. So that's one of the things that big corporations can't do is recreate the kind of healthy acid chains that you can brew at home using slow organic brew methods. So I upscaled big time. I ended up building a 1.2 million liter brewery out in Daylesford. And that was servicing some big kombucha brands, every big kombucha brand basically that wasn't Remedy. And they tasted amazing when we worked together. We won awards for the cola, and they switched me out for a wine vinegar when I used the money that I was earning from them to prove that a living kombucha, an unpasteurized kombucha, will lower your sugar spike from any meal by 20%. As soon as I released that study, I lost all my clients because they were pasteurizing their kombucha, even though they promised me they wouldn't. Because I said, I'm not building a mass, I'm an environmental activist. I'm not going to build a 1.2 million liter facility to brew something that you're just going to turn into a commodity and make fake kombucha with. And they promised me they would never pasteurize. They started pasteurizing, probably because their businesses are run by lawyers and accountants, which is why their businesses are multi-million dollar businesses, and mine is,
It's
mine is
fear,
still, mine is little.
fear of someone getting a bit sick and taking them to court.
That's right. And alcohol can be produced. So like a sneaky little insight, you could you if you brew properly, there's always the risk that you'll get a slight alcohol uptake, right?
Oh, that's
And
serious.
yeah, this is serious. And Victoria, Queensland and Tasmania have a liquor licensing law that says that anything above 0.5% is alcoholic. The rest of Australia and New Zealand that are all you, the ATO believes in these laws, Food Safety Australia New Zealand believes in these laws. Those laws classify an alcoholic beverage as something that starts at 1.15%, which is fine. For a living probiotic non-alcoholic producer, 1.15% gives us room to brew. And I've been passionate about having the standardized level for a long time. I wrote petitions. I had government advisors to Jane Garrett when she was alive, and I ran against her in politics. I feel that strongly about it. I ran against Jane Garrett. She would never talk to me directly about anything apart with politics. Anyway, so but she sent her advisors to talk to me, and they said, "Dino, we've read your petition, and we love how passionate you feel about creating a probiotic living. Imagine a probiotic living soft drink industry. It'd be amazing. It'd be less pasteurization. It'd be less environmental impact. There'd be healthier outcomes." And she and he said, "But we can't change the law to make it easier to drink alcohol." I'm like, 0.5% is not alcohol. 1% is not alcohol. And he said, "Dino, how would you feel if you saw a pregnant woman or a child drinking a 1% alcoholic kombucha?" And I said, "A fuckload better than if I saw him drinking a can of Coke."
That's true.
Right? Right? And he goes, "Oh, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about health." And I said, "I think we are.
You
Like the
are.
whole reason you recalled my kombucha at 0.63% was because of health concerns.
All
You
right,
guys are full of shit."
so what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now with it?
Well, I've perfected my brew technique, and I can guarantee a under 0.5% potent probiotic outcome that tastes delicious and verges on shelf stability. And to the government's credit, they did give me a little bit of money to support my research and development in that field. The environmental outcomes are amazing. The health outcomes are amazing. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I actually think the only way I can topple the toxic soft drink industry is to actually encourage all communities by open sourcing my knowledge to brew their own kombucha based on native plants in their areas. So I want to see kombucha rolled out all throughout the country with my methods because they're quite rudimentary. Like Rainbow Serpent probably doesn't want me telling people this, but I brewed about 2,500 liters of kombucha every rainbow. In I had like I sold 220 kegs at 32 locations at Rainbow Serpent, all out of the back of my truck. No one got sick. council were walking around making sure all the cafes had their food safety certifications ticked off, but none of them knew that there was a brewery in the car park. And basically I smashed it and I kept people alive. And you the chances of getting sick from a home-brewed kombucha are so minimal because our pH stays so low that nothing nasty can happen. But for some reason, it's a wild ferment, and wild ferments, I mean, I know it's a wild ferment, but wild ferments for some reason are classified as a high-risk food. So I'm in the same category as sushi, right? But you
Right.
come into my kombucha brewery in Brunswick, it's not a sushi restaurant, right?
Yeah.
It's not. And I have ridiculous conversations with bureaucrats about, let's make it easier for people to do what I do. Why am I the only one making living probiotics? The fermentary's gone.
Yep.
Right,
Okay,
all of the good places are gone.
can I take this right back then now
Yeah.
to local food production and drink production? Because it sounds like you're not going to get anywhere, hitching yourself to one of the huge corporations.
No, I take that
So
risk.
are we talking now, going completely local?
Well, I am very focused on local, and we do, five farmers markets every weekend, and we have our tap room open in Brunswick, and that's great. We get regulars that come in, and some people are crying and hugging me and saying, nothing fixed my guts, but your stuff does, and it really it fills me with joy, and it makes me happy. The problem is that, my warehouse is for sale. It's $2.3 million that I don't have. If there's a lot of equipment here, I'd love to buy it. That would keep everyone here and employed and things happening in Mary Beck, but I don't think they're particularly supportive of more sustainable businesses. I feel unsupported by them.
By me, who? By Mary Beck?
Yeah, they tried
Yeah.
to arrest me at the Coburg night market
For
for bringing a bag of ice, and I'm talking frozen water. I brought a bag of ice into the store to help a mate stall out that I was wholesaling my kombucha to, and they said, "We said you can't have your kombucha here." And I said, "This guy's selling my kombucha. It's all authorized." And they're like, "No, he said he was selling iced tea." I'm like, "Well, it's pretty similar, and he's got it on tap." And they're like, "No, all they wanted to see was fridges full of cans of shit, and they just wanted everyone to be fine, Coca-Cola." When Moreland Council became Mary Beck Council, the people who did the drinks was Coca-Cola. So people are sucking down cans of Coke, talking about how good we are for acknowledging community, acknowledging mob, and drinking poison. It's astounding.
It's not astounding. It is astounding, but the whole world's astounding in that way, isn't it? It's just
The
a bit of a mess with
hypocrisy
all that.
and the
So,
lack of support.
yeah. So you're at a pivotal point in with your business there.
Yeah.
So talk a bit more generally, going back a bit about your environmental activism, and tell me the story. Well, no, first of all, just tell me about your environmental activism. What sort of things have you been doing?
I used to set up bikes full of kombucha for Extinction Rebellion events. I would bring kombucha up to the Tulangi State Forest, make sure all the activists were healthy and happy on probiotics. I used my kombucha van as a protest vehicle to stop a bunch of logging trucks. That was an expensive one. I still haven't paid that. I don't think I ever will. I mean, that's protest, right? I mean, I know that, like Buckminster Fuller says, you can't fix a broken system from within. You've got to create a whole new paradigm. And I am very excited about encouraging other people in community to start doing what I'm doing. I've jumped over all the hurdles, swam through the hoops, and I've got a blueprint that I could definitely hand over to lots of different breweries that would like to start making kombucha for their communities. And all of a sudden, we're not relying on a container deposit scheme. That doesn't exist for me, as far as I'm concerned, because people are reusing their bottles. They're bringing it back to me, and I'm refilling them. My neighbor's recycling bins, when I first started brewing kombucha, I emptied them myself because I needed bottles, and it all sounds pretty unfood safe at the moment, but we've
I'm
stepped
sure it's
up in a
not.
big way. We're a lot more professional now. But at the same time, we're a little bubble of sustainability in a sea of pasteurized mediocrity, And I don't understand the point of buying something at a from a fridge that's been boiled and then chilled and then put in the fridge, like every single drink. And the environmental implications of pasteurizing something is insane. And none of us are thinking about it, right? But Remedy's pasteurized. That's and they say they're not. They're lying, right? What they do is they pasteurize it as part of their process. Then they introduce one lab-grown strain of bacteria, and they know that that lab-grown strain's never going to produce alcohol or change the flavors, right? But it looks good on the label. So they say there's 1 billion CFUs of bacteria in this at the time of bottling, which lasts 3 days. We've tested it. We've lab tested it. Their bacteria doesn't last longer than 2 or 3 weeks. It's got a
So
half-life of
does yours last because it's a
10
living?
years. All of my kombucha has a shelf life of 10 years. It only becomes more vinegary. It pickles itself. And you don't need pasteurization for shelf stability when you're making pickles, right? You don't need to pasteurize a pickle. You don't need to pasteurize a kombucha. But the reason why the big corporations are pasteurizing is because they need to cover their asses. They need to make sure that the lawyers and the accountants involved in the business don't crack the shits. And that's what burnt me.
And they need to guarantee a uniform product. That's what it's all about,
Correct.
isn't it? Like
Yep.
McDonald's, it's got to be exactly the same everywhere you go.
So do we need to shift community consumer mentality? Well, I don't want food that tastes the same every single time I eat it. I want to go to a restaurant that's handcrafted. I want a drink that tastes different every time I buy a different bottle. That's me. You'll never get my kombucha tasting exactly the same every month, you know?
Australia's energy market is broken.
Right, but CoPower gives you better energy?
Nope, no retailer can control where the electrons they buy off the grid come from. But as a CoPower member, you can vote on where 100% of revenue goes. So instead of corporate profit, your energy bill builds the world you want to be a part of.
That's cool.
Learn more about the solidarity economy and CoPower today and take the power back.
Victorian energy fact sheets and basic plan information documents are available at cooperativepower.org.au. For clear advice on the right plan for you, contact us on 03 9068 6036.
A 3CR supporter.
6 years I've been in desert.
Beyond the Bars is 3CR's annual prison project, giving voice to our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander inmates right across Victoria.
It's good to be here because Aboriginal radio and you don't really get to do this much. Brings us all together.
Time, you'll get your time to take that first step out that front door to freedom beyond these walls.
Make sure. And I just want to say thank you to all of you for giving us the opportunity to speak on air.
The bigger the reason, the bigger the calling. Make your commitment and watch things unfold.
And you can listen to audio from this year's broadcasts and previous years as well. Online at any time, just go to 3cr.org.au/beyondthebars.
But also, while I'm here, I'd like to say thank you for all for coming, helping, giving us a chance to do this. It's really good, you know. It's been going for a while now. Hopefully, it keeps going. You know, like it's good that we can do this and get our voice out there as prisoners.
We can't blame everything on the external, so let's stop looking for it in the hands of the persecutor. Because real power comes from here, and it comes from family.
If you would like us to post you a free CD, contact the station on 03 9419 8377.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm chatting with Dean O'Callaghan, also known as Dino Goodbrew, talking about the challenges that independent food producers face and how everyday consumers can help out by buying locally. So talk a bit then about what you've said you want to encourage other people to do it, and you've got a sort of experience at doing that and a blueprint for how to do it. So you're advocating a kind of guerrilla business model or something, like just do what your community wants you to do and not worry so much about regulations and stuff. So
I've got to walk through the regulatory
right.
Because and the main way through it is just to have a high risk food safety program, right? Which I'm happy to sell. And a how-to guide on every step of the process with a checklist at each workstation. All of these things are part of my food safety program, but it doesn't just have to be for Brunswick. It could be for Toorak. And if you live in Toorak, it's, you know, a $2,000 or $5,000 a year subscription. If you're a mob and you live in community outside of Alice, and I'm trying my hardest to bridge the gap, I know this would bridge the gap. It's free, right? You can get everything you need to create a kombucha based on indigenous plants with my knowledge as a kit that you just download, and then you can use it.
Have you got that on ready to go on sale now? If people,
That's part of my fundraising. Okay, so I'm going to do. I am. In order to stay, if I want to keep existing, I'm going to need an influx of funds. And so, what I'm going to do is a crowdfunding that has all sorts of ways of supporting my business, and most of them being like buying your own kombucha SCOBY so you can brew your own kombucha, and that has a huge environmental impact.
Yeah,
right. Just one family brewing kombucha. I send 4, 5, 6 kits out every day. So that's 6 families brewing their own kombucha. That's 6 families preserving and amplifying any fruits or herbs in their own garden for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And none of them are buying shit kombucha anymore. Mm-hmm. None of them are buying the commercial crap. None of them are buying soft drinks anymore, because once you start brewing your own kombucha, a soft drink tastes like poison. It tastes like acrid, sweet gunk, right? And this is why big brands, big money, big sugar, they don't like kombucha.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? They hate it. That's why there was no clinical trials, no studies, nothing done on kombucha until we did it in 2020 during COVID, when we did a study that proved the metagenomic analysis of my kombucha, 200 strains, and then the second study, the glycemic response to our kombucha, 20% reduction in sugar spike. Both of those studies, unbelievable. And the first 2 studies ever done on the effects of kombucha on humans. That was then other breweries in America went, holy shit, this is already done. We should do it too. And they did other studies that peer reviewed ours, but also went further. And they proved that if you have type 1 or type 2 or type 3 diabetes, which is Alzheimer's, if you have any of those types of diabetes, living kombucha, particularly mine, will smooth out the troughs and the spikes of your sugar journey. Your sugar, blood sugar level journey, which is insanely good for preventing yourself getting type 2 diabetes for starters, and minimizes the effect of type 1. So, but it's food as medicine. And food as medicine is not exactly what the sponsors of our democracy are all passionate about. There's the cops now. I've said too much.
What about marketing your stuff through the health industry, you know, the health food shops and stuff?
Yeah, well, my kombucha is for sale at most organic supermarkets. Okay. So in Melbourne, we've got organic Whole Foods and Terra Madre.
Oh, yeah.
All the bulk source Whole Foods has my kombucha on tap. So I'm earning enough money to keep employing people and keep making it. But I don't have enough money to secure the future of my building. And I would love to have my stuff more available. Like at the moment, if you're in Melbourne, you can drink my kombucha and you've got access to living probiotics. But outside of Victoria, you have to go to another small brewery. Like in Sydney, there's a couple still around. You know, Herbs of Life is happening in Blue Mountains. In Queensland, there's Bucci. It's doing a good job. And Bundaberg Ferments. In Western Australia, there's Community Brew, which is a big one. And I just met a guy, he just walked in the door from Ishtar Kombucha in Western Australia, and he's passionate about not pasteurizing his stuff either. So at the end of the day, the core message I would love to give people is support the smallest possible kombucha brewery you can find, because then it's likely to be unpasteurized.
Right. Okay, that's really good information, because I had no idea about that. So that's great.
Hardly anyone does. So at farmers markets, people say, I don't drink kombucha. And they go, I don't like it. And I'm like, well, where do you get it? And they go, supermarkets. I'm like, well, you haven't tried real kombucha. Yeah. Try this. And then they go, oh, my God, what is this, right? And then all of a sudden their guts are working better. They're happier. They're, you know, the crazy thing about kombucha is that it loves to live in the same temperatures we love. It's perfect at 23 degrees, but it's okay all the way down to 5, and it's okay all the way up to 40. But like, whereas if you try any other ferment, pretty much like beer or wine, you screw with those temperatures a little bit, you screw up your whole brew. Mm-hmm. But kombucha loves the same temperatures as us. It's evolved with us. We are 90% bacteria.
Can I just ask? Yeah, there's more bacteria in us than our own cells, isn't there?
Yeah, because they're tiny.
Something like that. Yeah. What I was going to say is there some critical point then, Dean, where it can go the wrong way? Like the wrong kind of bacteria can start to proliferate? Is this what the health concern is? And at what point is that? And what can we do about that? Is it a matter of smell or what?
It's sight, usually. You can see it. If it's a multicolored mold on top of your ferment,
right?
Chuck it. Yeah, that's when you get some toxic stuff going on. But people who come to my workshops, I teach them, there's this very small table, 3x3, and it talks about the temperature range is important, and that's a really exciting one because that's really easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But the pH range is the most important thing to keep your kombucha safe.
Yep.
So there's no toxin, there is no toxic bacteria that can exist when your pH is below 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep your kombucha brew below 4.5 pH, which basically means every time you feed it, you only have at least one fifth starter culture to 4/5 food, right? You make sure that your starter culture is really vinegary when you feed it, right? It's hungry, it needs sugar, it tastes like vinegar, right? They're the two things you need to make sure of. And as long as you keep your temperature within the range of 5 to 40 degrees, that, and the pH is then under 4.5, it'll never go off. You'll never get a bad kombucha.
And so an average householder can deal with that just as easily as they can check whether the milk's off or any of their other meats off or whatever. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I sell pH strips as part of the complete kit when I set families up to brew their own kombucha. Mm. But you only use a couple, and then you calibrate your real lab, which is your mouth.
Uh-huh.
You calibrate your laboratory with the pH strips just by going, oh, this tastes like it's ready for more kombucha and sugar, like tea and sugar, mm-hmm. more kombucha food, right? It's kombucha food. It's ready for more food. I've tasted this vinegar and poof, it's strong, right? And then you double check it with a pH strip and you go, whoa, pH of 3, that's insanely low. Okay, I can add a lot of tea and sugar, which has a pH of 8, right, and mm-hmm. still keep that pH under 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
But you do all that with taste, and people intuitively, once you've done 2 or 3 brews, you don't need equipment. It's crazy. And this is why I want to roll it out into community, because it is safe, you know?
Yeah.
And it means that, like, Mob would be drinking so much less Black Death, you know? There's pallets of Black Death going out to community every day.
What's this, Coke or something?
Yeah. So but yeah, like there's I know a mate who works on Groot Island, and he said the ship comes out once a fortnight, and it comes out with 3 pallets of Coca-Cola, and it goes back with 3 coffins. And the coffins have young blokes in them, 30 to 40 years old.
What with with those kind of illnesses?
Huge diabetes. Disgusting. They've just killed themselves. And they're doing it because there's no beer. No one's brewing beer. That's their option. They go, well, if I can't have alcohol, then I can have this. And the government goes, well, I guess it's, you know, it's an easy one. They can go, yeah, you can have this because it's legal.
Yes.
I'd love to do that. So that's part of it. So if anyone out there wants to help me roll kombucha out into Indigenous communities, I do know a lot of people in different areas of government, but I don't know the right ones. And I know that it would, if government was serious about bridging the gap, they'd be encouraging kombucha breweries in every community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think starting at local government's the way to go from my very limited experience.
Yeah, I kind of burnt my bridges with a couple of local governments.
We got to go. That's the end of our time. Thank you very much for chatting with me today.
Thank you for your time, Anne. I really appreciate you having this conversation with me. Loved it.
My name is Anne Stanley, and my guest was Dean O'Callaghan. If you want to find out more about Dino's work, go to goodbrew.com.au and extremelyalive.com.au. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You are what you eat, and you are what you eat, and you're even.
Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers, and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio, and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.